Okay, today's daf is Beitza Daf Lamed Aleph. We left off at the Mishnah and Daf Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph. The Mishnah is going to talk about gathering wood from different places on Yontif, and to what extent that's a violation of Uvda D'chol, or perhaps, according to some Rishonim, a Malacha of Ma'amer. The Gemara is going to talk about the difference between regular branches or beams of wood and light branches, where even if they're already gathered, they can very easily scatter. And then the Gemara is going to explain the Machlokas about the definition of a Karpev, because when you gather from a Karpev, Karpev is an already enclosed area, and that's going to be mutter to gather from, but we're going to have a machlokas in the Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to have a discussion about what that machlokas is about the details of that machlokas, about how to define a karpev. The Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about chopping wood from beams and using various kalim to chop that wood in situations where it is mutter to chop that wood. On Amud Beis, the Mishnah is going to talk about if you have fruits that were inaccessible when Yontif started and then somehow became accessible, they were locked up in a house and then somehow the house broke and now you have the fruits accessible, so are you allowed to use those fruits on Yontif? And the Gemara is going to distinguish between Yontif and Shabbos with regard to moving beams to access food. And then the last discussion on the daf is going to be if you have a cover made out of rope that covers a hole in the ground, are you allowed to break through that rope or untie that rope in order to access whatever is inside that hole in the ground? So let us begin with the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Mevi enetzim min asadim min amechunas. One is allowed to bring wood from the field, but only if it's already gathered, it's already mechunas in the field. Umin akarpev afilu min amufuzar. But if you have an enclosed, protected area, then you're allowed to collect wood, even if it's all scattered, you're allowed to collect the wood together and gather it. So what's the definition? Ezehu karpef. What is a karpef? You're allowed to gather from a karpef, but we have to know what is a karpef. So machlokas. Kol shesamach li'ir divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, as long as it's close to the city, it's called a karpef. Meaning if it's an enclosed area that's nearby the city, so that's considered to be a karpef. An enclosed area that's far away from the city would not be called a karpef, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Question is, how do you define close? It's not a very precise terminology that he's using of samuch. We had yesterday a different din of samuch when we spoke about Tosefta Shabbos being samuch l'Shabbos, but that was a time samuch. This is a space samuch. How close to the city is called close? Three shitos in Rishonim. The Rush writes the shear of samuch li'ir is shivim amma v'shirayim, 70 amos plus a little bit. This is obviously taken from iburo shel ir in Hilchas Erevin. So the Rush says we have to come up with some halachic definition of samuch that's not Tchum Shabbos, because we're going to see in a moment that the end of the Tchum Shabbos is considered rachok. That's not considered samuch. So what's considered samuch? You have to go with some other. Where else do we ever have a halacha of areas around the city? So it's 70 amos and change. That's what you have to say. The Meiri disagrees, and he says no, within 70 amos that's considered part of the city itself. The Yiburu Shalir is considered, the Yiburu Shalir literally means literally translated would mean the pregnancy of the city, that if a city is pregnant, that it has a little bit that juts out of the city. So by a pregnant woman, her belly is still part of her. It's to say, if this is part of the city, this is not something that's external to the city. So he says, no, samuch li'ir means the gardens that are near the city that are considered to be samuch li'ir. If there's still gardens that are used by the city, that's considered to be samuch li'ir. But Miri doesn't give a precise definition of space. It really depends on how that city was set up and how the surrounding area was set up. The Ravid in his Hasagos on the Rambam in Hilchos Yontif Perek Beis Halacha Yudalid writes that Samach Li'ir means up to half of the Tchum. That if far away from the city means the end of the Tchum, so Samach must mean the first half of the Tchum. So if Tchum Shabbos 2,000 Amos, the first 1,000 Amos is considered to be Samach Li'ir. So those are three definitions of what Samach means. Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that a karpef has to be in the area that's samach li'ir. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, no. Kol shen nechnasen lo b'posachas, avafilu b'toch tchum Shabbos. Anything that's guarded by lock and key, anything that you need a key to get into, so that's a protected area, even if it's all the way at the end of the tchum Shabbos, even if it's almost 2,000 amos away from you, that's still fine, that's still considered a karpef. So one or two things over here. First of all, what's the issue of gathering wood from the field or gathering wood from an area? So Rashi over here writes that the reason for the Isser in our Mishnah is the din of Muktzah. So if it's already pre-gathered in your field where you were Megaladas that you want that wood, or even if it's scattered but it's in a karpef, which is a protected place that you're always somich das on, that you always assume that you can always go to your karpef, which is a protective area, to get your wood, so then it's not going to be muktzah, because we assume that your das is to always go to such a place and to get whatever wood is there. So that's the whole issue, is a muktzah issue, and we're not worried about it when you're somich das. The Ra'ah and the Ran disagree, and they say that the Isra over here of Asif HaSeitzim and Asada is an Isra of Ma'amer. It's a Malacha Da'araisa. One of the Malachas, we don't think about that often, but this is one of the Lamitas Malachas, to gather wood from all over the place. That's a violation of Ma'amer. So Midina Meikra Din L'Tzorach Ochel Nefesh, even if something is scattered about in the field, it would be Mutter. But Chazal Asir in the field, because it's the Derech to be Ma'amer from a field for Tzorach Yamim Rabim, for a long, to gather enough wood for many days. So Chazal made a Gezerah, don't take from there at all, because you wouldn't be allowed to gather in the normal way from the field where you'd be gathering for long term. So in the Maskar of the Gemara, where they only allow b'mechunasim shebekarfev, because they hold that even in a karfev, then it's normal to take for one day, but nevertheless on Yom Tov, because people are rushing for their Suda to be marbe b'simchus Yom Tov, it's not the derech to take on Yom Tov, even l'tzorech Yom Tov. So it will look like you're being malakeit shalol l'tzorech Yom Tov. But if something is mechunas b'karpev, then it's like etzim shem reshu, so then it's like you have your wood already prepared. So we will discuss that. The Rishonim will discuss. First, we're going to have to clarify what Rabbi Yehuda in fact holds, because the Gemara is going to go through Rabbi Yehuda a little bit. Now, the Mishnah Brura explains the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tav Kuf Aleph that going out into a field to bring wood is a Maisa Chol. So even though it's not going to be maybe Lidei Melacha, the Chomer still goes there for many things that are considered Uvdud Chol, and this is one of them. The Tosus also raises the possibility of ma'amir, but he rejects it. Minakarpev afilim and amfuzah tells us tema havi ma'amir, do have malacha. He says, what do you mean? How can you gather scattered wood from a karpev? Gathering scattered wood is an av malacha. That's ma'amir. So he says, no, that's not ma'amir. Lo shaykh imur el b'makum shegedelim sham. Ma'amir is only from the area where something grew. But if it didn't grow there, then it's not ma'amir. So if you have a karpev, that's an enclosed area where you had thrown all this wood that you had at some previous time collected, you threw it all into this enclosed area, so it's scattered all over this enclosed area, but it didn't grow there, and therefore you're allowed to gather. That's not a violation of ma'amer. The problem is, the Simchas Yom Tov points out that the Gemara in Shabbos discusses ma'amer. Shabbos Afayin Gimel and Beis is Machlokas Abaye and Rava about gathering salt, whether you're chayiv mishum ma'amer. Rava says yes, and Abaye says no. Ein ma'ein imor ela b'gidulei karka. That ma'amer can only be violated with gidulei karka, with things that grow from the ground. So Bishlam la baye that ain't imorel b'gidulei karka, it makes sense that you could have such a rule that it's only ma'amer b'makom gidulo, in a place where it grew. But according to Rava, that there's ma'amer even by salt where it's not gidulei karka, so then what do you mean ain't imorel b'makom gidulo? That you can even violate ma'amer with something that doesn't grow at all. So how can you have such a rule that ma'amer can only be b'gidulei karka? So you have to say is that even by the salt, it has to be from where you mine the salt, that it has to be from where it comes. Lavdafka gidulo, it's not a din in gidulo mina aretz, it's not a din in something that's yonek mina aretz, it's a din in where you get it from. So by the salt, it would only be ma'amer where you actually mine the salt, and for wood and for things that grow from the ground, it would be ma'amer from the place where it actually grows. So that the Simchas Yom Tov points out that the Gemara in Shabbos says that there's one man d'yamer that the mekoshesh violated the malacha of ma'amer. He says, well, what was growing in the midbar? How is that makom gidulo in the midbar? Was all this wood growing in the midbar? Hard to imagine. So he says, lule divrei atosos, we would have said that really there's ma'amer shalom b'makom gidulosom as well. They could violate ma'amer even where something doesn't grow. But by Yom Tov, there's no isr ma'amer, because the whole isr ma'amer is only when you gather kedei lahatznia, when you gather in order to put away for some time. But when you're ma'amer l'tzorach Yom Tov, to be madlik and to be mavir, bo bayom, so that's not considered ma'amer. And even if there's you don't need it for Yom Tov, you could say that it's not considered a melacha, since if if guests were to show up and you would need the wood, so it wouldn't be ma'amer. So that's why it's not considered to be ma'amer. And Shabbos is considered ma'amer latznia because there's nothing else you could do with it on Shabbos. You're not allowed to use it on Shabbos. So on Shabbos it's going to be ma'amer because it's always lahatznia on Shabbos. There's nothing else that you could do with it on Shabbos. That's what the Simchas Yom Tov says. He would have said lulei divrei Tosos. Had Tosos not disagreed, he would have said his perhaps pshat over here. Okay, so the Gemara says Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Ein Mevi'in Etzim Elamin Amchunasin Shebekarfev, that one can only bring wood that is already pre-gathered in an enclosed area. So says Gemara, what va'anantanan min ha'karpev afilu min ha'mfuzarim? Our Mishnah said not that way. Our Mishnah said that you can gather from an enclosed area even if it's scattered in the enclosed area. It doesn't have to be pre-gathered in the enclosed area. If it was pre-gathered, you could even collect it from a sada, our Mishnah said. You only need one or the other, either from an enclosed area or that it's mechunas. You don't need both. So says Gemara, yeah, we understand that that's against our Mishnah, but masnisin yichidah. We should realize that even though our Mishnah was written stam, it reflects only a shita of a das yachid, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel is paskening against that das yachid like the majority opinion. How do we know that our Mishnah was written by only a das yachid? Because we have a brisa that says the same exact thing as our Mishnah, except it attributes it to a single Tana. So from that brisa, it's unusual. Normally when you want to reject a Mishnah, you would quote a brisa that shows that someone argues on the Mishnah. Here we're going to quote a brisa that says exactly what the Mishnah says, but all it does is it attributes it to a single Tana. So you see that it's a das yachid, and therefore there must have been others who disagreed. Ditanya, Am Reb Shim ben Elazar. Reb Shim ben Elazar says that's the single Tana, that's the das yachid. Lo nechleku beishami beisilel. Alam afuzarm shabasadu shein mavin. Certainly, if you have scattered wood in fields where you have tarti l'reyusa, you have both factors working against you. It's scattered and it's out in the field. That for sure, everyone agrees you're not allowed to collect on yantiv. And certainly if you have tarti l'tivusa, you have both factors working in your favor. It's in an enclosed area and it's gathered already, it's pre-gathered, so then for sure you're allowed to collect such wood on yantiv. What is the machlokas between Beshame and Besilel? Al mufuzarn shabakarpev val mukhunasan shabasados. When you have one factor working for you and one working against you, you have either wood that's already mechunas or wood that's in a karpev, but not both. Shebeshama yomrim lo yavi. Beshama says one cannot gather such wood. Ubeisilo yomrim yavi. Beisilo says you can gather such wood. Our Mishnah said that you can, but we see that it's only the das yachid of Reb Shim ben Elazar who attributes such an opinion to the Beisilo and would therefore hold that you can. But the majority opinion must be against the Reb Shim ben Elazar, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel is well within his rights to say that you need tarti l'tivusa, that you need both factors working in your favor, even though we don't, the Gemara failed to quote a single Tana that holds that way, so it's highly unusual for the Gemara to do this. I don't know, but the fact that it attributes it to a single Tana, normally we would say, and the Rabbi Yehuda Anasi wrote it stam because that's the way you're supposed to paskin. The reason he didn't put a Tana in the Mishnah and he just wrote it stam is to indicate that that's the way we're supposed to paskin, or that no one is cholik or Shimon Elazar. But the Gemara must have had some sort of tradition, Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel must have had some sort of tradition that the Rabbanim were cholik on Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Amar Rava Ali Kanim va'ali Gefanim. If you have very very light wood, like branches of reeds or of grapevines, Afalgav de Michnefiluhu Mosvi, Kivin de Madli Zika Mavadulu, Kumufuzarm Damuvasurin. Even though they're gathered together and they're sitting in one nice, neat little pile, since they're very light, and if a wind would blow, they would scatter all over the place, so they're considered to be Mufuzar, and therefore they're Asur. Even though right now they're not scattered, right now they're gathered together in a pile, but one wind, and they'll be all over the place, so therefore they're going to be Asur. The Asnuch Maname Etmal Alayu, Shapir Dami. But if you put a kli on them from Erev Yom Tov to hold them in place, a kli that has a certain weight, is like a paperweight, to hold it down, so then it's going to be okay, then it's considered to be gathered, it's not considered to be scattered all over the place. So Rashi explains that even if the wind didn't, why is it that they're kumufuzarim dami vasar? Because even if the wind didn't actually scatter them, and they're still right now in their place, what's the whole issue over here? It's an issue of muktzah. So this is muktzah, because mistama, you weren't somich das, that that they're actually going to stay in one place, since you realize that a slight breeze will come and scatter them all over the place. So there's no smichas das, mimelitz muksa. That works very well according to Rashi's understanding, that the whole issue over here is an issue of muksa. But what if you hold the whole issue is, like the Ra'ah and the Ran, that the issue over here is an issue of ma'amer, that you're not allowed to gather from all over the place? So why would it be us, if it's there, it's in a pile right now, the wind didn't come, it didn't blow all over the place, it's still in the pile. Now, in Achinami, a wind could have blown it a lot, but it didn't happen. So that's going to be ma'amer. How's that going to be a violation of ma'amer? So the Ran addresses this directly, and he says, because even though right now they're mechunas, and there's no issue of ma'amer, we're choshesh that while you start to take them, while you start to take them from the pile, while that's happening, the wind is going to come and blow them all over the place. And when you're in the middle of gathering them, you're just going to run all over to try to chase them down because you're in the middle of taking them. So if they were scattered all over the place, so you know not to go, you're not going to take anything. But they're gathered in a pile. You're going to come and you're going to take them. And then as you're taking them, the wind is going to blow them everywhere. So you're going to run all over to try to gather them together. So that's in this Rabban. We're afraid that you're going to come to violate ma'amer if you go and you try to take them. That's how the Ran understands. The Simchas Yom Tov is troubled. Why does putting a kli on it help? Meaning, if in light of that Ran, that the concern is that while you're actually taking it, a wind is going to come, so how would you take it if there's a kli on it? You would have to remove the kli and then start taking it. So then you might have the same concern, because you can remove the kli that's weighing it down, so now it's not going to be weighed down by anything. You can start taking it, and the wind could still come and blow it all over the place. So that's the kasha of the Simchas Yom Tov. So he says you have to say somehow that you leave the kli on, or maybe if the fact that you put, says Simchas Yom Tov, maybe the Ran would understand the fact that you put the kli there from Erev Yom Tov will be a reminder for you not to violate ma'amer. So even if the wind does come while you're gathering it together, the fact that there was a kli there before will be a reminder to the person that he shouldn't chase down all of the little pieces if the wind comes and blows everything away, and therefore there's no concern that he's going to violate ma'amer. You have to say something like that in the Ran. Okay, Ezu Karpif. So the Mishnah had a machlokas how we define a karpif. We said gathering from an enclosed area is mutter, even if it's scattered about in that enclosed area. But what is the definition of a karpif? So Rabbi Yehuda said that it depends on how close it is to the city. Rabbi Yossi said as long as it has a key that you need to get into it, that's considered a karpif. So you buy a little. Heichi ka'amar. What is the machlokas exactly over here? When Rabbi Yehuda says it has to be close to the city, is he saying that you need both? You need both factors working in your favor? That it has to be close to the city and you need to be able to enter with a key? It needs to be locked up in order for it to be considered a karpif? And then Vas Rabbi Yossi Lemeimar, Kivin Disle Posachas Hefliu B'toch Tchum Shabbos Nami. And then Rabbi Yossi comes along and says, no, even once it has a key, you don't need it to be so close. It could be even far away. You don't need both factors working in your favor, you only need one factor working in your favor. Oh, Dilmor, maybe no. Maybe Hachikamer, maybe Rabbi Yehuda is saying, Kol Shasamach Li'ir, Bein de Isle Posachas, Bein de Lesle Posachas. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda is saying, I don't care about a key. Key is not an issue for me. The whole issue is it Samach Li'ir or is it not Samach Li'ir? If it's Samach Li'ir, it's good. If it's not Samach Li'ir, it's no good. Regardless of whether there's a key. Vas Rabbi Yossi, the member Rabbi Yossi comes to tell me, Afilu B'toch Tchum Shabbos, V'davka de Isle Posachas. Rabbi Yossi comes to say, I don't care about Samach Li'ir. Samach Li'ir means nothing to me. It makes no difference the distance to the city, as long as it's within Tchum Shabbos. The only thing that matters is whether there's a Posachas. So it's not that, it's that, according to the second way of understanding, each opinion is not even goreis the factor of the other opinion, that neither one cares about the other opinion, the factor that the other opinion considers. So Tashma, says Gemara, will bring a raya, mitiktani, from the fact that it says, Rabbi Yossi Omer Kol Shenechnasin Lo B'Posachas Va'afilu B'Toch Tchum Shabbos, from the fact that Rabbi Yossi's Lashon is that anything that you can enter with a key, even if it's all the way at the end of the Tchum Shabbos, Shema Minah Rabbi Yossi Tarti L'Kula Ka'amar Shema Minah. This tells us Rabbi Yossi is telling us a double kula. So what does that mean? Meaning that from Rabbi, the Gemara's question was not only what Rabbi Yossi's opinion was. The Gemara's question was what Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was as well. So somehow from the language of Rabbi Yossi, we're going to be able to figure out what Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was and what Rabbi Yossi is cholik on, what Rabbi Yossi's opinion is. So Rashi explains over here, if you look in the second wide line of Rashi, Tarti lukulukamar, kolomar, mid Rabbi Yossi nishmal Rabbi Yehuda delav travayu bayi. We see from Rabbi Yossi that Rabbi Yehuda did not require both factors working in your favor. Not like the first way of understanding. You did not require that it be close and have a key. Rabbi Yossi betarti ekel akil de machshir besamach below posachas uba posachas below samach. And Rabbi Yossi is makel when you have either one, when you have either a key or it's close by. The shamil Rabbi Yehuda de kamar kol she samach liir bein de sle posachas bein de les sle posachas. Rabbi Yehuda holds that that as long as it's close to the city, it doesn't matter if you have a key. Vamalei Rabbi Yossi. And then Rabbi Yossi is saying, no, if you have a key, then it could even be very far from the city. Meaning, I agree, if it's close to the city, you don't need a key. I agree with that part of what you're saying. But if you have a key, even if it's very far from the city, it's okay. Because if Rabbi Yossi was totally dependent on whether you have a key or not, here's the important line that the Gemara is medayik from. If Rabbi Yossi was all about just do you have a key or do you not have a key? Dafilu samach bayi posachas, and even if it's close to the city, you need a key. Lo havele l'siumei vafilu betoch tchum Shabbos. He never should have said that phrase, even if it's betoch tchum Shabbos. Distance doesn't matter to him at all. All that matters to him is a key. So why are you mentioning vafilu betoch tchum Shabbos? Ela hachi havele l'memor. What he should have said is, Rabbi Yossi amar kol shen l'chnas lo posachas. That Rabbi Yossi says that anything that you need a key to get into, that's going to be fine, that's going to be okay. And what you don't need a key to get into is not okay. And that would have implied regardless of distance. Why does he mention distance? The fact that he mentions distance tells you that he thinks distance can sometimes be a factor as well. So that's Rashi goes on to explain that the fact that Rabbi Yossi says that the afilu b'toch tchum Shabbos means that he thinks that if it's samach l'ir, you don't even need to have a key. That distance matters as well. So either factor working in your favor would be good enough. That's the shita of Rabbi Yossi. So says the Gemara now. Vayter Shmamina. So we see that's the shita of Rabbi Yossi, and that's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. That Rabbi Yehuda holds that you only need samach, and that's his only factor that he's worried about. Rabbi Yossi holds one or the other is good enough. Amrav Sala, Amrav Yirmiyah, Halacha Rabbi Yossi Lahakel. That we paskin like Rabbi Yossi Lekula. So what does that mean? What does it mean to paskin like Rabbi Yossi Lekula? Well, we just said that Rabbi Yossi holds you only need one factor or the other. If it's samach le'ir or it has a key, that's good enough. So then we're going to paskin like that Lekula. So whether it has a key or not, if it's samach, it's going to be mutter. And that's the pashut reading of the Gemara. The problem is the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Yom Tov Parak Beis Halacha Yadalid paskins that it's only mutter if there's a key, whether it's samach li'ir or whether it's eino samach li'ir. But if there's no key, then even besamach li'ir it's going to be asir. So essentially the Rambam says it all depends on the key. Nothing else matters. The distance does not matter at all. So the Ravid jumps all over that Rambam. He says, what do you mean? The Gemara paskins at the end, they like Rabbi Yossi that we're makel on both. Oh, with it's samach li'ir and it doesn't have a key, or if it has a key, even if it's far from the city, that's the maskana of the Gemara. How can the Rambam go against the maskana of the Gemara? So Lech Mishnah explains that the Rambam must have had a different girsa than the Gemara. He didn't have this girsa that Shmamina Rabbi Yossi Tarti Lekulaka Amar. He had Shmamina Lekulaka Amar. And he holds that the suffix of the Gemara was never within Rabbi Yossi at all. The whole suffix of the Gemara was only Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yossi, it was Pasha to the Gemara that the only factor is whether you have a key or not. The Shaila of the Gemara was, according to Rabbi Yehuda, whether he's Matir Besamach even without a key, and Rabbi Yossi is Machmir against Rabbi Yehuda, or is Rabbi Yehuda Matir only Besamach when there is a key, and Rabbi Yossi is Mekil, that it's Mutter even when it's far away if there is a key. So in that, the Gemara says that Rabbi Yossi is being Mekil on that which Rabbi, in that he's Matir when there's a key, even when it's far away. But even without a Posachas, it's definitely going to be Aser. That's the way the Rambam understood the Gemara, that the whole suffix of the Gemara was within Rabbi Yehuda. It happens to be that the Girs of the Rif over here, I believe, is that the whole Shaila of the Gemara, the whole suffix of the Gemara is only within Shitas Rabbi Yossi. So there are really three ways to understand the Gemara. There are three different Shitas in what the Gemara Shaila was. Rashi understands that the Gemara wasn't sure about Shitas Rabbi Yehuda or Shitas Rabbi Yossi. The Rif understands the Gemara wasn't sure about Shitas Rabbi Yossi, but was perfectly comfortable with Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. and that's why Rashi makes a big deal about Vahachi Garsinan, that this is the Girsa, and he just quotes our exact Gemara, the Girsa the way we have it in our Gemara. He's coming La Afuke, the Girsa of the Rif, I believe it is, that holds that the whole Shaila is only within Shitas Rabbi Yossi. So and then you have the Rambam who holds that no, the whole Shaila is only within Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, not within Shitas Rabbi Yossi. The other issue that the Achronim deal with Slach over here points out, generally speaking, the Gemara only says halacha ki so and so, the halacha is like whoever, when there is not an already firmly established klal and psak that tells you that halacha is that way. For instance, when you have machlokes beisham beisilal, the Gemara doesn't say in every sugi and shas halacha ki beisilal, because we already know beisham beisilal, the halacha is like beisilal. So Tzlach raises the question, why do we have to say halacha Rabbi Yossi lahakel? The Gemara in Ervin memvavam beis says that one of the klali psak is Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi halacha Rabbi Yossi. So why would the Gemara have to go out of its way to tell me Allah Rabbi Yossi? That's already self-understood. That's already one of the firmly established klalim in psak. So the Tzlach suggests that it could be that Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi are arguing in a broader machlokas over here. It could be that they're arguing about muktza entirely. The Rabbi Yehuda holds that muktza is aser, and therefore he's only matir samach li'ir, where it's daito olav, as opposed to something that's far from the city. Your makatsubi daito, a person has it out of mind. Whereas Rabbi Yossi holds muktza is mutter, and therefore he's matir berachok, meaning this is part of the broader machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about muktza. So by muktza, there are lots of bamarayim that hold like Rabbi Yehuda, and particularly on Yantiv, and therefore Rabbi Yirmi has to say that the halacha over here is like Rabbi Yossi lahakel. So wait, so Rabbi Yirmi is telling me that we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda with regard to muktza, we pass like Rabbi Shimon with regard to muktza. So Tzlach says maybe that's what Rabbi Yirmi is saying, that he passes like Rabbi Shimon with regard to muktza, or maybe no, maybe he's telling me that with muktza we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yossi also holds his nisr muktza on Yantiv. It's just that over here he holds that being far away from the city doesn't make something muktza, that it's not muktza just because it's at a distance from the city. Okay, new Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Ein mevakin eitzim lomina koros v'lomina korosh nishpa v'yomtov. We're not allowed to chop wood from beams or from a beam that broke on Yom Tov. Ve'ein mevakin lo bekardum v'lo b'migra v'lo b'migra v'lo b'magal el b'kofitz. And we're not supposed to chop wood using a kardum or a migra, different types of utensils, an axe or a saw, nor a magal. Rather, you're supposed to use a kofitz, like a meat cleaver kind of utensil that a butcher uses. That's what you're allowed to use to chop wood. So the Gemara right away is going to raise the question. We just said there are two lines in this Mishnah. First line is you're not allowed to chop any wood, and the second line is when you're chopping wood, here's the kli that you're allowed to use. So that's a little difficult to understand. So says the Gemara, Vamrit Resha in Mevakin Klal. We just said in the Resha, you're not allowed to chop wood. How can we then say in the Sefer of the Mishnah how to chop wood? What type of kli to use to chop wood? So Rashi and Tosfos both point out that the Gemara is assuming that the Isser with chopping this wood is an Isser of Malacha or Tircha, that it's an Isser about the act of chopping. It's not about where this wood is from. It's not about the wood is Muktza and that's why you're not allowed to use it. It's about the act of chopping being problematic on Yom Tov. So then the Gemara has a good Kasha. If the act of chopping itself is a problematic activity to do on Yantiv, so then how can the Sefer of the Mishnah then tell me what kli to use when I'm going to do the chopping? But then the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Yom Shmuel Chisur Mechzer V'Achi Ketani. No, there's something missing from the Mishnah. And once we fill in the missing line, you'll realize that the problem with chopping is not in the activity of chopping, it's in the wood that you're using, that you're not allowed to use wood that's muktza. You have to have wood that's pre-designated from before Yantiv is something that you might want to use as firewood on Yantiv. That's the whole issue. And therefore, as long as you have wood that's you already had in mind that you might use as firewood, it's not going to be a problem. So here's what we fill in the Mishnah. Ein mevakin eitzim lo min hasavar shel koros. You're not allowed to chop wood from a pile of beams, if they arranged beams to use for a construction project. You often see on a construction site right before they're about to set up the frame, they have beams lying across. So a pile of beams, very neatly set up, lying across. Such beams are clearly meant, they're miyuchad lebinyan. They're meant for building, they're not meant to be used for firewood. That would be muktza. Velomina korish nishpro b'yomtov. Or if you had a beam in the house that broke on Yantif. Well, certainly when Yantif started, you had no intention to use the beams of your house for firewood. It was supposed to keep your house up. The only thing is it broke on Yantif, so you figure you might as well use it for firewood. Well, that you can't do. That's mukta, because when Yantif started it, you had no intention to use it for firewood. Aval mevakin minakora shenishbra may erev yom tov. But you're allowed to chop wood from a beam that broke on erev yom tov, because if it broke on erev yom tov, then it's not going to be a problem of mukta. Ah, so once we say that the whole issue is mukta, and you can have wood that's not mukta, there is such a thing as a beam that's not mukta. So the Mishnah goes on, ukshen mevakin, in mevakin, lo bekardin, lo magra, lo magra, el bekofitz. If you're going to use a kli to chop the wood, you have to use the right kind of kli to chop the wood. Now the Rush writes that which were matir to chop wood is only by a beam that you cannot bake or cook with it without chopping it up. But if you have a beam that doesn't really need to be chopped, it's just a little bit larger than you would like it ideally for your firewood, but it could work, then you're not allowed to chop it because that's a tircha shelo l'tzorech. I mean, the Rush says, even though in a chinami, our Mishnah does not address any sort of melacha in chopping or any problem with the activity of chopping, it doesn't mean that no such problem exists. Our Mishnah happens to be discussing a muktza issue, but still, if you have wood that's perfectly usable for firewood, well then you shouldn't be chopping up that wood. You shouldn't be, because that's a tircha shelo l'tzorech, and then it's an av melacha. So like we say in Masech HaShabbos, the Fayin Dalet, someone's chote chetzim to chatichos dakos, someone who chops up wood into small little pieces in order to fuel a fire, is chayiv mishum tochein. So that's an av melacha. So then the Rush proves this from the lashon of the Rambam. He says the Rambam holds this way as well. The Rambam in the fourth parak of Hilchos Yom Tov Halacha Yud writes, "V'lama asru bekardu mechayotzi behen." Why are you not allowed to use an axe? Mipnei she'efshar ha'yilo levakeh erev Yom Tov, because you could have chopped it on erev Yom Tov. "V'lama lo nesra bikua klal." And why is it that we don't asr bikua entirely? Mipnei she'efshar shiivka eitz ava v'lo yucha lahaviro v'yimna milavashel, because you might come across a large piece of wood that you're not going to be able to burn, and then you won't be able to cook. So therefore we allow you to chop wood, but it's got to be with a shinui, with the type of kli that you normally wouldn't chop wood with. But says the Rush, what do you see from the Rambam? That when do we allow you to chop wood? When lo yuchal lahaviro, when you come across a piece of wood that you otherwise could not burn. Yamshel Shlomo disagrees with the Rush's diuk and the Rambam. He says, well, what the Rambam's saying is, since on occasion you might come across a piece of wood that you cannot burn, so we allow you to chop all wood, meaning if we didn't allow you to chop wood that you cannot burn, then people would end up not cooking for Yantif, and we don't want that to happen. But it doesn't mean that the only wood that you're allowed to chop is wood that you cannot burn. You're allowed to chop wood that you can burn also. That's the Yamshel Shlomo against the Rush. Okay, Tanya Nami Achim, Rebbeisa says just like this: Ein vakam etzim lo min asavr shel kodesh lo min akodesh nishpro b'yomtov lefi sheinu min amuchan. See, the Bryce specifically identifies the reason. It's not that this activity is prohibited on Yantif; it's a muktza issue. Sheinu min amuchan. So you see, the Bryce very clearly identifies the issue in our Mishnah as being a muktza issue. V'lo b'kardum. So it says you're not allowed to use a kardum, an axe, on Yantif. So Amar Rav Chinuna Bar Shlami, Mishmei D'Rav, Lo Shana B'Nakva Shalom, B'Zachva Shalom Mutar. Often an axe would have two sides with two different blades. One blade is wider, one blade is narrower. So the wider blade is called the Nekeva, like a woman that has wider hips, so the wider blade is called the Nekeva, and the Zachrus is the narrower blade. So it's only usher to use the wider blade to chop the wood, but if you use the other side of the axe, that's Mutar. So Pshita, a kofitz nun. Of course you're allowed to use the narrower side, because that's just the same thing as a kofitz. That's the same thing as a meat cleaver, which the Mishnah said you're allowed to use. So why wouldn't you be allowed to use the narrower blade? Says Mar, Madu tevani mi l'kofitz l'chudei, avu kardum l'kofitz eima migo d'haigisa aser, haigisa nami aser. I might have thought that that's only if you have just a kofitz, if you have something that only has a small blade. But if it has a large blade and a small blade, I might have thought that just like the larger blade is aser, the smaller blade is aser as well. Sort of Zilberstein is a shayla. If you have a guy who's in a wheelchair, and he normally has a wheelchair that runs on electricity, that runs on, you know, he has a, whatever you call it, it's a, automatic. You know, he has a button to make it go. So are you allowed to use it on Shabbos by having someone push him? He's not going to use the buttons on Shabbos. Can someone push him in that wheelchair on Shabbos? On the one hand, klisha malachta le'iser, le'tzorach kufa, le'tzorach mekomo, it should for sure be mutter. But he says, maybe there's what to discuss over here based on our Gemara. That our Gemara says, if you have a kli that you could use it in an usser way and you could use it in a mutter way, and it's very easy to flip from one to the other, so I might have thought that since high gisa is usser, high gisa is also usser, using the other side is also usser, even using the mutter side is usser, kamash malin, you don't have to worry about it. So maybe you see a raya from our Mishnah that it's going to be mutter. Forgetting the muktzah issue, the additional concern that Rav Zilberstein raises, that you might come to use it in the wrong way, maybe we see from our Gemara that you don't have to worry about that, because even though you have the axe also, you could use it on one side, it's going to be an usser way to use it, the other side is going to be a mutter way to use it, and we're not worried about it. He says the problem is there's a Gemara in Chulin that says first of all, you could be mechalik between this and the axe case, because by the axe, the whole chashash is that you might violate an issur drabanan of mechzi kimalacha, not that it's going to be an issur daraisa. Whereas over here, if you're using electricity, it could be mavi or rabona, whatever shitos there are about using electricity that might be an actual issur daraisa. Another raya he has is from the Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin daf tezvavim beis says that if you shochit b'magal yad that has two blades to it, the shechit is kasher. But l'chadchili you're not allowed to do it because we're afraid you might use the other blade that has pegimos. Meaning if a knife has one side that's smooth and the other side that has pegimos and both sides could be used for cutting, don't do it l'chadchila. Don't even use the smooth side l'chadchila because you might use the other side. So that's much more similar to our case. So it sounds from that it would be aser. Okay, you have to look into the sugya a little bit more to figure out what the halach l'maisa would be. Some have this whole discussion on the seifa. Ella bekofitz, that when we say that you're allowed to use a kofitz, that we're, the assumption that we're working with is that a kofitz has two blades, not that an axe has two blades, but that a kofitz has two blades, one which is fine and one which is problematic. And Amrav chinna bar shlami mishmei derav lo shonu el bezach v'shalav benak v'shalav aser, that on the kofitz you're only allowed to use the male side but not the female side of it. So pshita v'lo bekardum tran, and on that we ask, of course you're not allowed to use the wider side because it says you're not allowed to use a kardum. So mal detei mani mili kardum avol kofitz v'kardum eim amigo da haigis shari haigis nami shari kamash milan. Now I might have thought that's only a kardum that you're not allowed to use, but a kofitz but one that has both sides, I might have thought that you're even allowed to use the wide side, the problematic side, because it's part of a kli that's generally mutter. So kamash milan, that no, you're only allowed to use the good side, you're not allowed to use the bad side. Says the Mishnah, let's say you have a house full of peros, but there's no door to the house. There's just structure built around the peros. And then the house caves in, so now the peros become accessible. So not only makom apchas, you're allowed to take from the makom apchas, from the place where it became accessible now. Rameir says you could even be pochis lecharchila, you could even choose to take lecharchila and take. Rav Zilberstein compares this to a case if you left the light in the fridge on Shabbos, and you realize that the light is on in the fridge, so you have no access to the food inside. So you already decide that you're not going to access it. And then a guy comes in the middle of Shabbos and he decides to open up the fridge or to remove the light from the fridge. So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Bayishu mali peros," and it's nifchas. You're allowed to take mimakom apchas. And the Mishmur explains, even if it's nifchas on Yom Tov, we don't say that since it was closed off during Ben Hashmashos and you couldn't take it during Ben Hashmashos without violating this sort of stiras binyan that it's muksa for the whole day. That's not considered muksa because it wasn't muksa machmas the isser itself. It was only in a place that happened to be inaccessible, but there was nothing wrong with the food. So he says the same thing by the fridge. So the food itself is fine. It was just in a place that was inaccessible because of malacha. So he said, but he says if you look at Shmir Shabbos Kulchasa, Shmir Shabbos Kulchasa has a lot of tzadim lahaka that the food is not muksa, but not just this, meaning he has a lot of other considerations lahakel. Okay, weiter in the Gemara now. So am I. Vakasasar Allah, why is it okay to take? Why would it be okay to take that food? Isn't it stira sawal? You're destroying the meaning. Why would a mayor say that you could even be pochis lechachila, that you can knock down the house lechachila? Isn't that stira sawal? Samram nuchim baradam rishmuel ba'avira delivni. We're talking about an arrangement of bricks that are not cemented together, so there is no stira involved. Eini vamrav nachman ani livni dayasu mimnar shoyel tatinu b'shabata hol v'chazi lemizgalayu sharginu vaday aktinu. Don't we learn that once you arrange bricks in order, so then then it's clearly you're making them muktzah. So Rabbi Zeir b'yomtiv amar Rav lo b'shabbos. We're only going to allow it on yantiv, not on Shabbos. You're right, it's muktzah. We're going to allow tiltal muktzah for the sake of ochel nefesh on yantiv. Tosfos says this is a raya that tiltal muktzah is mutter for the sake of ochel nefesh. That's what the Gemara is saying over here, that we're going to allow that isid rabban of muktzah for the sake of yantiv, but not for Shabbos. Tanya nami hachi, Remeir omer af pochis lechachil v'notel, that the Brisa says explicitly like this, that a mayor holds, you're even allowed to break up the structure and take it. B'yomtav amru avalo b'shabbos. And it says explicitly in the Brisa that it's dafka and yantav, not in Shabbos, because it is not a stiras oel issue, it is a muktzah issue, and we're going to allow the issue drabban of muktzah in order to facilitate simchas yomtav. Okay, we'll stop there. Oh, yeah.